Okay, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we continue our Dhamma sharing. So Q&A come reporting on meditation, followed by Dhamma sharing. We are review of the Heart Sutta Dhamma. Okay. Turn to chapter 19, page 69. Okay. This part you listen. With wisdom, one is always at ease, with a lot of harmony in whatever one does. One will also be able to accord and flow with condition during their waking moments, as in the working career environment, or even as a housewife doing her daily chores, or as a normal human being going through life, etc. One will have the wisdom and ability to resolve all of life's issue or situation amicably without causing any suffering or karmic negativity to anyone. That is, with no mental negativity to deceive, cheat, lie, or take advantage of others. In life, the way one perceives a life situation is very important. If one can perceive a life situation without any negativity, then one will be able to always be happy and at peace with all of life situation. If one does not react or stir one's mind, then one will not suffer. To have the ability to prevent the unwholesome speech, action, and thought from arising, one needs to develop sati, or mindfulness, and heedfulness, or apamada, and the wisdom, which is panya, to prevent the arising of the unwholesome mental intention that will condition one's unwholesome speech and action. Right thought, right speech, right action are conducive for their holy life. For the holy life. The three main doors that commit karma are cittena, or mental intention, committed via speech, action, and thought process. To take care of karma, one needs to be ever mindful of one's mental intention and apply the appropriate right effort and right understanding to avoid all evil, do good, and purify one's mind. Contemplating to develop skillful means of communication and action, via arising only the right and appropriate speech and action that will not cause any suffering or misery to fellow living beings is very important. For example, via having love and compassion, kindness, pleasantness and gentleness of speeches, gratitude, sincerity, etc. in everything we do, can go a long way. So this type of virtue, you should actually reflect on it, contemplate. How often do you have love, compassion? Are you kind? Are you pleasant? Do you have all this quality or virtue in you? Are you gentle in your approach, in your speech, in the way you live your life? Then do you have gratitude? Are you sincere, etc.? So these are very useful. Use it to check. Sometimes by being sensitive to say, I am really sorry, please forgive me if I have, whether knowingly or unknowingly, caused you any misunderstanding, can go a long way to make people feel good and happy, as opposed to engaging in unfruitful argument that can lead to further misunderstanding and enmity later on. Use only pleasant, gentle, and appreciative speeches, and speak tactfully with wisdom, kindness, love, and compassion to help others to bring about more harmony and happiness. Those who are in the service industry should learn to speak well on the phone and when receiving phone call from people. Those who are attending to emergency phone call must also have the ability to use gentle, pleasant, and good speeches to calm people down and assist them to handle the situation calmly and appropriately. Words like, may I help you? And how can I be of assistance to you? Are very useful and appropriate. Understand the importance of applying the four right effort to purify one's actions, speech and thought processes is a very important aspect of the whole cultivation. There are three very important purification needed for cultivation, and they are the purification of morality, sila visuddhi, purification of mind, citta visuddhi, and purification of views, ditti visuddhi. These three purification are part of the seven stages of purification as taught by the Buddha, and they are all listed here. So this satta visuddhi, or seven stages of purification, are very important. So this is something new for you all. Some of you may have heard about it. Then it can help you to develop the cultivation. Because in the early day, I do reflect on this and contemplate on this. I received one book from Singapore. This monk is, I think, quite good. I forgot his name already. He wrote this Buddhist book. I remember thin copy, green color, seven stages of purification, visuddhi, satta visuddhi. Then after I read, I start to understand it slightly differently. That's why I put this down for you all so that you all can develop the understanding better. Sila visuddhi refer to purification of conduct or morality or virtue. So this one, you purify via keeping your precept. You have to be ever mindful of your precept. So this part, when you keep your precept well, you start to purify your conduct. You start to avoid evil. You start to develop good morality, the ennoblers of precepts. Then after that, when your precept has been taken care of, then you move on to citta visuddhi, purification of mind or your content of consciousness, especially the three evil roots, via the awareness of how it arises to condition you into negativity, then how to root them out via wisdom to develop the wholesomeness of mind. So this is the purification of content of consciousness, citta. That's why under Dhammanupassana, under Cittanupassana, the third foundation of mindfulness, that is what you do to develop the purification of mind or citta, is content of consciousness. When the content of consciousness has greed, you must be aware. When the content of consciousness is without greed, you also must be aware. So this training is very important. Once you are aware, then you can abandon it, you can root it out, you can straighten your view, so that you purify your citta, your thought, your mind, your content of consciousness. So I read to you, purification of content of consciousness, especially the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. We are an awareness of how it arises to condition you into negativity and how to root them out via wisdom. So the five ways, especially the fourth way, to trace the origination factor. Then once you have purified your morality and your content of consciousness, then you can move to the third stage, purification of views. This one is very important. Ditti visuddhi, purification of view so as to arise the right view with regards to law of karma, Four Noble Truths, and the law of dependent origination, to cultivate the rest of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. Know the difference between right and wrong view to develop the true understanding according to reality and to see things as they are. So your view is very important. You don't have this three right view, you cannot cope. So you have to put it to test, you have to investigate it. Then when your view has been purified, your cultivation becomes very simple. Then after your view has been purified, you go to the next stage, purification by overcoming your doubt. The Pali word is kankha vitarana visuddhi. You got no more doubt because it has overcome the 10 defilements of insight that binds the cultivator to complacency and misguided belief of realization. So when you are able to understand all this, overcome the 10 defilements of insight, then you got no more doubt. Means you have purified your doubt. The purification of knowledge and vision of what is path and non-path. This one is very useful. Maga maga jnana dasana visuddhi. Non-path lead to delusion and suffering, whereas path lead to clarity, non-negativity, peace, and stillness of mind, born of wisdom. So this is a very good way to check. Then the other way to check is, if you are on the path, the 7 factors of enlightenment keep on arising. If you are not on the path, you hardly see any factors of enlightenment arising. So these are very useful pointers. Then after you clear the purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and what is non-path, then you can move on to the next one. Purification by knowledge and vision of the actual way. Once you know what is path, what is wrong path, then you know how to cultivate. So knowledge and vision of the way means patipada jnana dasana. Patipada is cultivation, put to cultivation. So after understanding the path, one cultivates accordingly to realize the vision of the way. Then the last one is purification by knowledge and vision. So no need to go on the way. Jnana dasana visuddhi. So direct, no need to train, no need to cultivate. Straight away, your insight into phenomena. This means realization or enlightenment born of the direct seeing or direct knowledge and vision of the way things are without thought. Since meditation as taught by the Buddha is the Noble Eightfold Path, so if one's meditation does not lead one back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path via heedfulness and sati as taught by the Buddha, then it is not the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha. If after having experienced a fantastic meditation experience, one may think that one is already enlightened, but if one's action, speech and thought process are still very crude, with a lot of wrong view and delusion, then one must check what type of enlightenment that is. So this one is pretty obvious. Then we have the 31 plane of existence. So this one is the same. The highest realm is the 4 immaterialistic world, the formless world. The 4 realms that are accessible to those who pass away when meditating in the formless jhana. So the 5 material world, or arupa loka, consists of 16 realms, whose inhabitants, the devas, experience extremely refined degree of mental pleasure. These realms are accessible to those who have attained at least some level of form jhana and who have thereby managed to temporarily suppress hatred and ill will. They are said to possess extremely fine bodies of pure light. The highest of the realm is the pure abbot. Pure abbots are accessible only to those who have attained the sainthood stage of a non-returner or of the 3rd stage of anagami awakening. The 5 material world and the immaterial world together constitute the higher heavenly realm. Then you have the sensual world, Kamaloka, which consists of the 7 realms which experiences both pleasurable and non-pleasurable sensual state of mind. It is dominated by the 5 senses. 7 of these rhymes are favorable destination, and they include the 6 deva rhymes and our own human rhyme. The lowest of the rhyme are the 4 woeful state or bad destination. They are the demons, the animal, the petas or hungry ghosts, and the hell rhyme. Enlightenment, mind that has clarity and wisdom, is no longer deluded. And genuine wisdom is what genuine wisdom is with complete clarity and understanding. The third noble truth, cessation of form and mind leading to Nibbana. Form and mind ceases to be, this is for info. Then report on meditation. So this person make this report. We're okay. Appendix there, 166. Okay. Report on meditation, 3.1. I have followed Brother Teo's class for almost 19 weeks by now. This was reported by one of the Kayanmita. I can feel the calmness and peace within more often now. How long is 19 weeks? 4 to 5 months, 4 months plus or what? She progressed quite fast. If I'm not wrong, this is the lady that Dana, the biscuit and all those things. I can feel the calmness and peace within more and more often now. I can sit for 1 hour and feel lighthearted with more clarity, joy, calmness and peace within most of the time. My mind is a lot quieter and less heedless. That is, be very much less wandering thought. See, when you progress, it's like that. Your thinking reduces. You are less heedless. You are more mindful. Then she said, when faced with problem, the mind is not afflicted like before. See, within 19 weeks, she can have this result, which is very good. Then my daily mindfulness has improved. This is the reason why she can do that. Now, when I encounter problem, the mind is not so easily stirred. I am now more aware of my mental intention, especially the negative ones with the 3 evil roots. And with this clarity of awareness, I am able to cultivate the 4 right effort to abandon, to prevent the arising, to promote and to refine upon the various mind states with greater ease. See? So good. Then the third part is, after cultivating the daily mindfulness, when encountering sloth and torpor, I can just accept the state of sloth and torpor without any intention to do away with it. This is how you should do it. And this acceptance allows my silent mind insati to take over and remain in peaceful awareness within. So that part relaxed, she didn't mention, but she did it. Then after a while, I can experience a shift in consciousness that make my mind bright and clear with a lot of joy and virya. Then the sloth and torpor is gone. Then I answer, these are very good meditative results born of correct meditative cultivation and right understanding. That's why I say you must meditate with right understanding. Always remember, whatever you do in the name of meditation, it can bring about more clarity of mind with inner peace and awareness to live life with a lot of happiness, joy and understanding than it is the right meditation. The meditation as taught by the Buddha will also allow you to develop all the wisdom and virtue or wholesomeness born of the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path, to live the noble life of a noble one. To truly live life, the mind must be in the silent mode, silent inner awareness to be with the moment, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Most living beings are heedless because they think a lot And they are most of the time too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they totally miss out on life. That is, they don't really live. To be at peace with every moment of sense door consciousness is genuine wisdom. To have the clarity of mind and right understanding or wisdom to know how to act and live life to the fullest, meaningfully, is the most important. Then next page, chapter 20. The seven stages of purification are important cultivation, especially so the first three, purification, which are purification of morality, purification of mind, and purification of views. That is just a reminder. Then definition. With precepts and samadhi complete and bright, the meaning is the pearl light appear. Pearl light here refer to the relics of the enlightened one. So when you have precepts and samadhi complete and bright, so you will develop the relics. The wisdom is within you. How do you meet it? Put down your upside down mind and let go of your false thinking or deluded mind. Earnestly work hard at your meditation. Means the false thinking mind is the mundane mind or heedless thinking mind, the deluded mind. So once you understand this, you can meditate with the correct understanding. Then you will continuously train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, so that the true mind can arise. Okay, meditation. To develop the meditation, the body and mind must be in harmony. Always remember that. That is, they must both be in a relaxed state of awareness and at ease. At ease means no stress, no tension, no tightness within the physical body, and no fear, worry, anxiety, restlessness, etc. within the mind. So both body and mind are completely relaxed and at ease. The stress and tension within the physical body and mental arises because of one's heedless living, via lack of mindfulness or attentiveness to live life. The heedless living arises because human beings tend to have a lot of problems and worries. They worry about their children, their education, and their future, worry about their own health, their own career and work-related problems, their relationship with their loved ones, their financial problem, their investment, their business, their wealth and possession, etc. This is the reason why the Buddha said to meditate, one must keep one's precept to avoid all evil so that one's karma is taken care of. We are less heedless living. However, hence, this is the reason why the Buddha has advocated the three aspect of meditation: sila, samadhi, and panya. Without sila, morality, or precepts, you can't allow samadhi to kick in. Then without samadhi, wisdom cannot come in. Then there's another set of essential dhamma: dana, sila, and bhavana. Dana is generosity to build up the parami of goodness. Then sila, same. Morality or precept to avoid evil. Then here, bhavana means the meditative discipline which includes both samadhi and wisdom. Then 3.2. Can one attain enlightenment through only hearing and without meditation? So this one also a good question. I say yes. And there are many cases of this happening even during the time of the Buddha. Venerable Kandanya and Sariputta and many others. Normally such people are able to awaken only through hearing because of their past cultivation and parami or perfection. Most of these people have in fact cultivated very sincerely and diligently before in the past. So that is the reason why in this life they will have the condition to awaken just via hearing the Dhamma. This hearing of the Dhamma actually corresponds to the first turning wisdom called Sutta Maya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the sutta or discourse of the Buddha. Then question 2, how do we apply the Dhamma to deal with someone who is very irritable, throw things in front of you, and rather unfriendly towards you? Apparently, he is like that because of the way he has been brought up. So we can't really blame him, and I don't know how to deal with him. See, this is one of the Kayadamita. So yeah, I'm not wrong. This lady worked in Bank Negara. Then I answer her. I said, is he or she one of your family members or friend? He said, yes, she is one of my family members. Then I say, to apply the Dhamma is very simple. Just follow Noble Eightfold Path. She is just the way she is. So have the right understanding or right view to accept her for what she is. Then you will be at peace. If not, you will react and perceive her with negativity, which you had described via your question. This is the suffering that will arise when you are with people whom you don't like, as described by the Buddha under the First Noble Truth. And the cause behind is your craving, born of your delusion. So to overcome this delusion and craving, you will have to accept her for what she is. Then learn to arise the right thought, pleasant and gentle right speech, following the Noble Eightfold Path to deal with her. Do not react or reason with her because it will not bring about a solution to her so-called problem or negativity as you have perceived her earlier. Have love and goodness of heart to understand her, radiate metta, and make aspiration to help her change for the better. All this will help. With mindfulness, observe her and await the right condition to counsel her and bring her into the Dhamma fold when conditions are appropriate. Slowly, with patience, loving kindness, and wisdom, she will come to accept you one of these days. So this is how you can approach it and develop the understanding of the condition behind. If there is no condition, please, no need to do anything. But when there is condition, you can try, see how far you can develop the understanding to help her. Then next chapter. Purification of sila or morality, which is virtue, citta or content of consciousness, and ditti or view, followed by purification of knowledge and vision of overcoming doubt, are all very important cultivation. This is especially so for the first three purification, where one must get it right. The understanding of the Dhammapada, verse 183, on the advice of all the Buddha is also very important, for it is based on deep understanding born of right view with regards to the law of karma. Then starting, of course, with the first advice, all evil is to be avoided. So the first inquiry is what constitutes evil. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the roots of all evil. So if your mental intention behind all your actions, speech, and thought processes are with these evil roots, then how they will condition you to become very evil, hence creating one's negative karma via you reap what you sow. Take for example selfishness and anger. Once these evil roots are there, they can condition one to kill and harm and take advantage of a situation for their personal selfish gain. Sankhara or mental state or contentment. There are 52 of them, and some are wholesome and some are unwholesome. So we need mindfulness and heedfulness to be aware of them so that we can avoid all evil via the heedful mind. With heedfulness and sati or mindfulness, we can see clearly how our mind gets conditioned into negativity. Mind state with these three evil roots, we are our own ignorance and self-delusion. How we get ourselves entangled with the evil mind state of anger, hatred, selfishness, lust, envy, and jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, etc. Through our lack of understanding of the whole truth, thereby conditioning us to grasp and cling onto the unreal, which has the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self of all phenomena. Without wisdom, we will not understand how we are conditioned into negativity. So wisdom is very important. Understanding the third noble truth, that suffering need not be. If we had developed the wisdom before confronting the first noble truth, reality of life and existence is very important. And that enlightenment in the here and the now is possible once we have awakened to the three universal characteristics of nature. With wisdom and awareness or sati, one can be aware and let things be. We are seeing things as they are, and then there will be no more suffering. One can then just accord and flow with condition without any resistance. Hence, there is no problem or no suffering and unhappiness. We are wanting things our way, which is not nature's way or the reality, which is what is. So we cannot argue with what is. Then sati or mindfulness, which is the first factor of enlightenment and most important spiritual faculty, is very important. Because without sati, there is no heedfulness, and without heedfulness, there is no spiritual life. Without sati, one cannot investigate the Dhamma to strengthen one's faith and virya. One must investigate into the following important Dhammapada verse 1, 2, 21, 22, 23, and 183, and confirm that this truth stand up to investigation, thereby establishing our faith in the law of karma as explained by the Buddha, to reaffirm our right view with regards to the law of karma. That all of sankhara, our mental state, inclusive of all our feeling and perception, are impermanent, for they arise and pass away constantly and are in a state of continuous flux. Though activity also come and go, arises and pass away, is birth and death, appearing and disappearing, exhibiting its characteristics of impermanent constantly. With wisdom within, one sees it clearly, whereas the mundane mind without wisdom is very heedless. My teacher used to tell me, finally there is only pure awareness, which is the true mind. This I came to realize later when the rather gross mundane or thinking mind collapsed, leading to the true mind, which is just pure awareness and silent within. It is very fine and like no mind. It's like the pure nature of awareness just shining forth when the mundane mind or thinking mind is no more. But there is such a thing as life, even though it's only within the moment. As we have established earlier on, the past is already gone, hence not a reality anymore. Similarly, the future has yet to come, so it's also not a reality. However, the only reality in existence I have to read this again. Hence, the only reality in existence is only the present moment. And moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? This one we have gone through. Every thought just arises and passes away very quickly. So as real as can be, it's only within the moment when it arises. After that, it is gone, dead and gone. So do wake up and do not dream anymore. The phenomenal world of consciousness is not what you think. As long as you are not deluded to grasp and cling, then you are okay. And you won't be afflicted. So don't hold, don't grasp, and don't cling or attach to anything, even through memory, then you will be free and peaceful always. Without delusion and ignorance, you are beautiful. When you can see things as they are, then you will not be deluded by them. The form and mind will be clear to you. Then there will be no more entanglement to cause you any more mental suffering. The reason being, the mind has awakened to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. Hence, you are no longer gullible. Eh? Then, the importance of heedfulness. With heedfulness well established, the mind is constantly aware of all your mental movement and intention. You will come to know how you are conditioned into negativity via your mind's delusion that condition you to grab and cling to your five aggregates of form and mind as the I, me, and the mind. You will also come to know how your likes and dislikes come to be via your reaction to what you see and perceive at the moment of sense experience. When you lack wisdom and yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you will come to experience all of the Four Noble Truths, the dependent origination or dwelling, and how your mind functions via witnessing the dwelling occurring within your mind. Always be aware within and develop the ability to use the trained mind in heedfulness to cultivate the penetrative wisdom born of the direct seeing, to clearly awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, to liberate your mind. You will come to witness how all your feelings arise and pass away like a bubble. All your perception, activity of mind, and mental consciousness also exhibit the same characteristic of impermanence, leading to your ability to realize the anatta or anatta and suffering nature within all phenomena. Yeah? Then we have part two. This one, I think, we have gone through. It's just a revision. Where is the mic? I need somebody to help me to read. Otherwise, my voice. Yeah, tell me. Thank you. Come out. 2.1 onward, you help me to read. Otherwise, my voice will have a problem.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, Lesson 21. Form does not differ from emptiness. Page 51 to 57, 2.1. This concept of form is emptiness and emptiness is form. It's very difficult to grasp and most people cannot understand this. There are also some Buddhists of the Theravada tradition who think that the Mahayana teaching is not authentic because they cannot accept the Heart Sutra teaching that said form is emptiness and emptiness is form. But for those who understand, there is no such problem because basically the Buddha's teaching on anatta as presented in the Theravada tradition also gives the same meaning for anatta as non-self and empty nature of all phenomena and sunyata or emptiness. For whatever that is impermanent, it is not a permanent unchanging entity that we can cling on to and say, this is me or these are mine. That is, they cannot be owned and processed. Ultimately, they are all mind-made and empty because form and mind are all conditions arising, hence, are all condition arising. Hence, hey, know me, and hey, know you. Also, the Buddha always said, Rupang anicchang, Rupang anatta. Before something exists in space, there is only space or emptiness. So form does not have different characteristics with emptiness. So in form, you are able to see and understand the principle of emptiness and hence not get attached. If we go direct into the mind, then we will know that all knowing comes from mind, as mind is the forerunner of all things, so everything is only consciousness, appearing and disappearing. So how real can it be? The reason why it is empty is just a mental image conjured by consciousness, which is like the great magician, as explained by the Buddha via his analogy of the five aggregates of form and mind.
Continue.
Part 3, Meditation 3.1. All phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, exhibit these three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature. Take for example our in and out breath, our footsteps, our heartbeat, our feelings, our perceptions, our thoughts and consciousness, and our bodily vibration, etc. They are all continuously arising and passing away, following nature's law. See their appearing and disappearing, birth and death, rise and fall, and the moment of its arising, its sustenance, and its disappearance. Clearly via the silent mind, indirect seeing, to awaken to their three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, so as to break free from sakkaya ditti, or self-delusion. See clearly its condition arising. That is how, when conditions arise, the phenomenon comes to be, and how, when the supporting conditions for its sustenance are still there, then the phenomenon will continue to exist, and how, when any of the supporting conditions cease to be, then it will lead to the disappearance or the cessation of that phenomenon. This will lead to the comprehension of its impermanence and non-self or empty nature clearly. Then you will come to understand that if you try to hold or cling on to things and want them your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will come to be. This is how you react to your sense perceptions via delusion that conditions your evil roots to arise. Evil roots are the roots of all evil. Hence, they have the power to condition you into negativity via your evil action, speech, and thoughts. This is the reason why heedfulness to understand all of this is very important. And with heedfulness, you will be able to constantly investigate the Dhamma, as taught by the Buddha, to confirm that they are the truth. Hence, re-establishing your faith and reaffirming your right view. The Buddha Puja, or Buddhist devotional practices, as taught by the Buddha, are very useful practices recommended by the Buddha to help us develop the five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Viriya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, needed for us to receive and understand his teaching more easily. Silence your mind to do the Buddha Puja with very strong faith and confidence in the Buddha and his teaching via understanding who he is and how special and great he is. Then bow mindfully. This will develop a very strong, calm and composed mind, leading to the establishment of the Viriya and Sati. Then with the strong Saddha and Viriya, you bow mindfully to pay respect or reverential salutation to the Buddha, to decondition the heedless thinking that that you have arisen throughout the day, thereby calming the mind to develop the stable sati or mindfulness within. The reason being, this constant bowing and chanting of the Buddha's name as practiced by the Mahayana can also help develop the very strong sadha, viriya and sati needed to develop the wisdom. There are also many benefits that can arise because the bowing or reverential salutation is also a meritorious action. Then, apart from developing the faith, we can also make use of these merits to make the necessary aspiration to walk the path of Dhamma smoothly by avoiding all the fools and only meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. When we bow mindfully, with the very strong faith of sadda and viriya, our mind is very calm and very composed, thereby helping us to develop a very stable mindfulness or sati much more easily, and it also leads us to cultivate humility. At the same time, we exercise our body. Sati is awareness before the knowing or the arising of thought, just a pure awareness within. So this bowing should be done with understanding, that is, we bow to establish mindfulness or awareness without thought, so that the body and mind move as one in perfect synchrony or harmony. Once mindfulness has been established, use it to cultivate the four postures of standing, walking, sitting, and lying down, then followed by the cultivation of sati sampajanya, or mindfulness and clear comprehension of all actions and movements in the present moment, to develop the initial vipassana wisdom, born of direct seeing of the three universal characteristics. Only then can we proceed with the contemplation of the four elements and the 32 parts within this physical body of ours and the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition contemplation. To finish off the Kaya Nupassana cultivation, after Kaya Nupassana, we then proceed to Vedana Nupassana and Citta Nupassana, followed by finally Dhamma Nupassana.
Thank you so much. Very good. Your reading is very clear. I sit down, listen. I don't look at the words. Wow, so clear. But I don't know whether you understand or not. Sadhu. If you can understand, it's very good. I tell you, these are all like the gem summarized all for you. So you no need to take note or remember what I say. Just read through this one with understanding. I tell you, you progress very far. I tell you, this book, your money cannot buy on it. And you cannot get this type of Dhamma. It's not common. Oh, that one, that one you better don't know, otherwise I make you very confused. Because what the Buddha wants you to do is to develop the daily mindfulness. First, he said, train your mind to develop anapanasati, means mindfulness of the in and out breath. So the first thing that training is to develop sati, anasana. That's why anapanasati is taught there. But the one that is taught is the short discourse, not the long discourse. The long discourse of Tika Nikaya is different. There are 16 tetrad. But this one that he taught in the Kaya Nupassana Anapanasati Sutta is a short one. That's why that monk, Vimalaramsi, used that one. Then after that, you don't continue to do the training, is it? If you continue to do the training on Anapanasati, you think you meditate, then you will be deceived. What he wants you to understand is, once the sati is established, stabilize it. Once it's stabilized, use it to cultivate the four posture. Because the four posture is much easier than daily mindfulness. Daily mindfulness means you connect all the four posture, the in-between movement and action. Means you have to be mindful all the time. It's like a continuous flow. That's why it's called the mindfulness within life, daily mindfulness. After you do that, you will have the initial wisdom via the direct seeing. Then you start to understand that these are all phenomenal with the characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self. Why? Because they are all dependent originating, like I described just now. Your whole entire form and mind, you can feel your breathing go in and go out. So what is the condition for it to arise? Huh? Why do you breathe? You don't know. Why did your body breathe? You need oxygen to survive, isn't it? That's why this is automatic mechanism, understand not? That's why the form and mind from karma is intelligent, understand not? And you need oxygen to survive. Your oxygen nourish your lung. Then you breathe because you need prajna. You know what is prajna? Huh? You don't know what is prajna? When you breathe, this prajna energy from nature, which has the oxygen, or it is the fresh air or what, you actually draw them. So this prajna is a type of energy that nourishes your health, give you like mindfulness, and develop your ability to have clarity, peacefulness, calmness. And prajna is like one of the energy in nature that you can receive through breathing. Understand not? So without prajna, you cannot survive, you cannot live. So these are all like food, understand not, for your body. Yeah, energy that you need, you receive. So when you have this training, when you can be mindful of it, your thoughts stop. It doesn't arise. Then when your thoughts stop, you experience the silent mind, which is mindfulness. Then after that, what happens is, the mind will experience piti. You feel very, very calm, very peaceful. There is a kind of joy. They call it a spiritual joy or spiritual calmness. There's no thought. You are very calm. So the mind becomes composed, calm. That's how you experience the meditative calm and peace, because you are not thinking. Then after that, it becomes joy. It becomes like a rupture. Especially first time you experience it, like, wow, your mind rupture. There is such joy inside there. That's why they call it spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, and spiritual rupture. All these words are used. Then you continue to relax into it, silent. Then it becomes more refined. Then you experience a blissful state. They call sukhang or sukha. So sukha is a blissful state of mind. Then you continue to relax into it through the stability of mindfulness that is more refined. Until it becomes so refined, until it stops. That is what pasati is all about. That's why they use the English word tranquility, stillness of mind. And that is your silent mind. That is your meditative mind. So when you hit that, that is the beginning of real meditation. Because that is the mind that can meditate, that can understand, that can be aware, that can insight into phenomena. But that one, no stability. First time you hit it, it's just that moment still for a while, tranquil for a while, silent for a while. Then you don't know what to do. You thought nothing. You thought you are not meditating. Then you know what they teach you how to do? Yeah? The Burmese tradition? He said, go to your buttock. Go and do the sitting touching. So when you do that, what happened to you? You are creating? You make the quiet mind, the silent mind, which already hit pasati, go and chatter again. Understand? Go and verbalize. Sitting, touching, sitting, touching. Then hope to what? Hope to get inside. You know? Understand? But when your mind becomes active again, how you get inside? You're supposed to silence everything, don't do anything. That's why I use the 6-hour chain to silence. Silence means what? Don't do anything. Continue to let this capacity stabilize. Then when it becomes stabilized until the mind cannot move, you know what happens? Your mind enters sati. You understand? When your mind is in sati, it has samadhi because it's so stable. Then what happens? Everything you see is in sati. There's a specific phenomenon aware. Your awareness and the phenomenal mover is one. Then you realize you are not perceiving, not seeing. You're just aware. Then all the movement become very clear to you. Then every moment of hearing also, the mind is in sati. It's just aware, such clarity, the word, the concept, all not there. But because you have this brain. So every time you want to know, so what happens is, the mundane mind that doesn't understand cannot do this. Because every time you perceive, the word come out, understand? Then you go and dialogue, you go and talk. Then you go and proliferate your thought. Means you are not aware. Aware means aware, continuously aware. Don't go and proliferate your thought. So stabilize all this. Then throughout the day, you hardly any thought. Then you need to arise a thought, you need to understand something, you perceive, but don't let it proliferate. Yeah. Then spontaneously act, make decision. That is how the enlightened being act. That is how a person who has trained his mind act. It's no more using thought to do all those funny things, understand? So this is meditation. So when you hit the silent mind, pasati, don't do anything. Just relax and continue to relax into it and silence. That's why I say that relaxed state is very important. Relax into every mind state that arrives. Don't try to know, just silent until you become very stable. That is your true mind. You have to come into contact with that. Realize that and stay there. Then from there, internally aware of outside. That it will understand, it will awaken. This is how meditation is to be done. Can you understand? That is very important. So now you know, you don't meditate to look for magic. Or see light, see nimitta, go jhana, go what? Why you want to do that? You meditate to train your mind to have this ability to silent, to quiet. When the mundane mind is quiet and silent, what do you experience? Inner peace, inner calmness, inner silence, tranquility, stillness, no movement, you have no thought, understand not? Then what happens? Your true mind is there, understand not? It's only when you are using your true mind to meditate, to be aware, the direct seeing can happen. Then you are able to be with the thought, with the emotion, with the feeling, with the perception. So everything is your awareness is with all this aggregate. That's why you can be mindful of them. You can be mindful of contact, then how consciousness come about. Then when you put in the contact, you can see them all. And what type of content, also you know. That is what meditation is all about, the clarity of it. If you haven't experienced it, you will be using your thought again. Wow, Brother Teo say like that. How to do? When you say how to do means, you don't understand, because you don't want to try. It's not a doing, understand? When you already train, when the mind is in that state, that thing will happen, understand? It's not do until it happens, understand? Like try to be aware. How can you do that? What is awareness? What is sati? The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. What are you doing? You try to be aware means you arise what? You arise the thought. That thought is trying to be aware, understand? Then how can the thought that is active become silent? Your awareness is before the knowing, before the aggregate of mind, before the thought. So you use thought to note, to focus, to concentrate, to follow method and technique and do things, you are dead. Thought-based meditation. You cannot realize a state of Dhamma or enlightenment, which is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time. Understand? By now, I hope you understand. Otherwise, you're wasting your time doing all those things. And I can tell you, 90% of those doing, they are all thought-based. very few people understand what sati is. Yeah. They can only experience some form of mindfulness and awareness when they slow everything down. I tell you. Slow everything down like no thought. Because it's under a conducive setting or environment. Understand? So I call that a conditioned state. Then they go into it until so calm and so quiet, they go into apana samadhi most of the time. Continuous absorption after that. Then they don't want to do anything. They become very quiet. They like to be in a monastery. Then they like to seclude themselves and all those things. There are useful instances of that because that will train your mind to be very stable. But you have to release it out and go back to normal awareness. Go back to normal pace of life. Understand? You got to go back to normal activity, living. In that state, you can still be mindful and heedful. That is the real one. Otherwise, you go to office, everything slow down. How? You get a love letter from your boss straight away. They call you. Sister, assignment how? Slowly, mindfully. Go to drawer, pull out, take out the note, open, then read. I tell you, you straight away got a love letter. He said, tomorrow you no need to come already. Mindfulness is not like that. Mindfulness, I can still do like normal. Then when I understand, I don't need to go drawer and take note. And I straight away answer. Yeah, done already. Yeah, I will deliver it to you. It will be on your table in half an hour's time. Or latest by today. This is how you do, spontaneously. You understand, you do. Then you have the understanding that this can be completed because you have done it, you have understood it. That is how you work. Then everything in the office, you are aware, but speed is the same. Like the phone call come, what you do? Are you aware? Most of you are panic. From who? MD. MD secretary. Or HR. But you expect promotion, you're very happy, you know. You think HR, you think the good news coming. Quickly you take, you're not even mindful how your hand go, because you are so attached to the expectation. Then suddenly you take up, who call? Your wife call. Ayo, you like, the whole of expectation gone, no. Then you talk to your wife also differently. Next time you got nothing, don't call me lah. I'm in the office, I'm busy. I'm waiting for an important phone call. I tell you, your wife also cannot eat that day. Because you are never mindful, you are never heedful, you are never sensitive, you are never considerate. Because you got your own selfish expectation that one more important than anything else. Understand not? Then when you got fear, it's the worst. There is a lady, HR director, became cancer. Suddenly detect breast cancer, fourth stage, came to me. And through her own words, she told me, she said, Brother Teo, what you say is very, very true. Because I say, you must have gone through very stressful condition. Otherwise, you won't kena it. You are so young, at the prime of your career, 40 years old. Then he said, yeah. Then he told me, he said, Brother Teo, it was like hell when I was promoted to, like Sui An, more job, one pay. But list the company. He said, the pressure was so intense. Because HR, a lot of things that the company want, he is not interested in your reason why you cannot get staff. No. You have to deliver. No. So every time phone call come, she got this panic attack, fear. No. Because that line, he know, is from the MD one. The secretary of the MD. And the secretary of the MD also very aggressive one. He always use the boss name one. When can you deliver? When can the candidate come? The project need. You give reason, he's not interested. He said the MD want him by tomorrow. I tell you, under that tremendous fear, he said he was so stressful. Then after that, he said that money not worth earning. That's why after that, he finally take leave, then let the company, after you take certain amount of leave, I think they will have reason to dismiss you. or put you on no pay leave or whatever, because there is a limit. How many days for medical leave? Yeah, maximum. No, that one is your leave. 60 days. After that, no pay leave. Then they can dismiss you on medical ground. No? You are not fit for work. Understand not? Like Suyan went through, he told you yesterday. That. What did he say? For no reason, no, that fear, the anxiety, because of the pressure to deliver. So he cannot, like a normal human being again, no, the mind moves so slowly, you know, because of the fear, the anxiety. That's how you go into depression. Understand? Not? You fail to perform. You feel, but that fear intensify and overwhelm you, engulf you, understand? Not? Then you lose confidence. Then the anxiety, that panic become worse, understand? Not? And the worst thing is what? Like he told you, first class honors law. Then some more kena this one, no? How to face the world? Then scared company dismiss you, no? So these are the thought projection, the fear, understand? Not? That's why later on he learn how to meditate. Then he come out with, then he go and see the psychiatrist and close the file. That's why you have to understand a lot of people are under stress. Why? Because you are not mindful, not composed. You don't have the Dhamma. You go and panic and project your thought and do all these funny things. You understand? And there is one part of the story, I don't know whether I got time to tell you. This case is real. You see, when she got breast cancer, fourth stage, she panicked for the first time. Then she was so desperate, she just asked the doctor, what must I do? And most doctors, you know, go do the operation first. Because it's good money, understand? Not? Every operation is a few thousand. The doctor will earn. I'm not saying all doctors, please don't go and quote me and get me wrong. There are very good doctors around, very professional. But there are also some not so professional. So the first thing is, didn't even really advise her or what. Straight away tell her, okay, you go for operation. Then she was admitted. And you know what happened? That few days she was admitted before the operation on the weekend. She was screaming and freaking in the hospital until the patient in the same ward cannot take it. Until the doctor also don't know what to do with her. Then the nurse also scared of her. Then the doctor advised the husband and said, I think you better take her back. Spend the weekend more calm, then only come back, then only do the operation. Then he happened to have a very close friend. I think was this uni mate or college mate, or I forgot already. She was under me, meditation with me that time in Chempaka. Then they were very close to me. They know I can help. I know how to deal with this case. So she asked me, Bertie, are you free or not? I say, when? He said, this weekend, Saturday. Oh, okay. After dinner, can. So after dinner, she came and fetched me and we went to her house. You know what happened? She got two dogs. When we reached there, the dog was howling. That one, like they see non-human and all those things. Very eerie. Then I went in. So he doesn't know who I am. So I went in, I can feel her intense fear, the stress, and all those things. She was not herself also, but she is quite okay. We had the husband also quite well. They got a maid and all those things. So I went in, so my friend introduced me. Then I saw her in that condition. I said, never mind, it's okay, you don't worry. I will sit here. I said, when you are ready, you can also sit. Then we can discuss whatever you want to discuss. So what happened was, she was reluctant to say anything. No, then I can sense her fear and all these things, anxiety and all things. Then this student, this is a good friend, she started to talk to me. He said, Brother Teo, this is my friend. I want to introduce. I saw the fear of saying, even acknowledge also not easy. You cannot extend your hand and shake hand. No. Cannot. It's just like that. Then, when I like that, she looked at me. Then she keep quiet. Then I say, okay, is there anything you want me to explain or help? Then he start to explain, no, the friend, huh? I say, it's okay, I heard from you already. I say, I want to hear direct from her. True or not? Because she is the one in problem, isn't it? So she was not keen to review, no, at first. Then I have to say something. I say, it's okay, don't worry. A lot of people have also similar problem like you. Some are worse. Some liver cancer worse. Yours is not so bad, I say. Whatever it is, I say, very likely, you must have gone through stressful environment. Otherwise, at this age, you won't get this type of thing until fourth stage. Then, no, towards the third stage at the end of fourth stage cancer. So what happened was, after he hear that, she starts to calm down, no, a bit, not much. Then she looked at the friend, no, what your friend do? Then he's an engineer. Engineer, talk to me for what? He doesn't need engineering advice. Then after I talk about that, he knew I understand her problem. No? He tell me about the office problem, the HR problem. Oh, I say, don't worry. This is common. I will let you understand. Then you will know what to do. You will know how to calm down. Then you know how to approach this. Then immediate thing you do, it will help you to improve. I say, you must understand that no amount of fear, anxiety, worry can help you. Now what you need is calm down. Then I had to ask her, no, are you a Buddhist? Have you been exposed to any Buddhist teaching? You know what she tell me? I am the once a year Buddhist. Visakhadev only go one. Understand or not? Oh, I say, no problem. You are a typical traditional Buddhist, Taoist. I say, good enough. At least not a Christian. I talk Dhamma, you can accept. I say, okay. Then I start to explain. I say, these are karmic things. I say, karma, you know, law of cause and effect. You reap what you sow. So these are the things that you did in the past. I say, so condition arise, this line you hit. So you need to ask for forgiveness. I say, repent. Calm down your mind, then determine not to do this. Yeah? Then cultivate goodness, follow the Buddhist teaching. Then with the merit, make expiration and recover. Then after that, I say, more important is, you learn some form of meditation when you are more calm and more ready. I say, loving kindness meditation. Yeah? I say, because what you are experiencing is the fear, the anxiety, the panic attack and all those things. If you are not careful, you will go into depression, I say. And these are all very negative energy field. And this is the one that causes your immune system to go down. That's how you develop cancer so far. Then he straight away, like the eye brightened. No? Somebody know her problem. No? And she looked at me. No? Then she relates something to me, I say. Now I can tell you what happened. When I was in the hospital, I say, I saw all the ghosts. He used the word ghost, no. He didn't ever say non-human. No. I say, I saw them all over the hospital. There was one in front of me. There was one in the ceiling. There was one outside the window. And so many around. She got so much fear, that's why she freaked, no. She chased them away by shouting and all those things. But they are still around. And the worst is, one of them tell them, you are going to die 3 days from now. Then she thought, I won't believe, no. I said, yeah, this is normal. Not only you, many people has told me this. Then he looked at me, no. Then he said, wait. He went upstairs and called the husband down. No. But the husband don't believe, you. No. The husband said, hallucination, no. He said, don't. He said, when you panic, you feel you have got hallucination. No, I said, this is not hallucination. I can explain to you why. But I dare not tell her the full truth, understand or not? You know what happened to her or not? When you got such fear and all those things, yeah? When your immune system went down, you got the disease, you are in this state, actually she is about to die. Understand? Not? When you're about to die, what happened? Your life force weakened. The fear, negative energy all intensified. Then what happened is, he reached the consciousness where he can see all this non-human. No? Means you are going to die and become like them. No? You understand? Not? That's why he can see them. But I didn't tell her she about to die. I said, it happened. I said, when you got fear, you panic or what? You are in their rhyme, understand? You are in that vibration. That's why your consciousness can see them. I said, no need to panic. No need to shoo them. They don't have a physical body. They cannot do anything to you. Whatever they say, let them say. Then she starts to calm down. Then she said, wait, go and take exercise book. No, I'll write down. And the next morning, after I went back, I went there at 8:30, 12 o'clock I left. By then, I saw the fear, the anxiety, the whatever panic attack, all lower by a lot, less by a lot. The next morning, she texted the good friend. You know what she said? She said, the good friend name is Kim. Kim, thank you so much. That was the only night I can have a good sleep. I have never been sleeping for so many days. How did it happen? That's why after that he got faith in me. After that he wanted to see me. Then he wanted to learn meditation and all that. And he recovered after that. But finally, because complacency, after 3 years or what, he I think go back to work or don't know what. Then succumb again. You know what is relapse or not? But she was so beautiful, you know. When the relapse came, then she knew. You know what she told me or not? Gratitude. Thank you so much. I'm not scared to die now. I understand what this is. To me, it's nothing. My only concern, he didn't even use the word worry, you know, is my two daughters who are still young. My husband. Yeah. Then he arranged for the friend to help out if anything happened. See, she becomes so beautiful. Then later on, she succumbed and passed away. I think after 3 years plus. So all this is what human problem is. You lack mindfulness, you don't have Dhamma, you don't know how to act, you end up like that. But she got good karma. Because last time she must have like Sui Anna help people out. So now got problem, got people come help her out. Understand? So this is what Dhamma is all about when you understand. Okay? So finish. No more story. My wife last night reminded me, don't tell so much story. It's not beneficial. Dhamma more. But some of you may need this type of inspiration, understand or not? Then you see the urgency, understand? Without all this understanding, you can end up like all those traumatic people, understand or not? Like that lady, the client one that came and see Sui An told me, you can expect this type of thing happen, no? Luckily, it's to other people's family. If it happened to be one of our family, how? You can take it or not? You ask Kiat Hun. Sure cannot. This is way beyond what I expect. So a lot of people cannot take this sort of thing. And it can be really traumatic, I tell you. Very, very traumatic. Okay, now I get Tammy to help me. Chapter 22, Tammy, continue. Chapter 22 finish? Not yet? Okay. Oh, she's not around. Then who is good at reading? Come. Yes. Kiat Hun, thank you. Page 78.
Okay, page 78, 1.1. Sorry, let me change my specs first. OH.
No problem. Your reading glass.
Okay. The meditative mind must not only be calm, but it must also be mindful and heedful within to develop the wisdom needed to liberate the mind.
Wow, sadhu. From the way she read, I know she can emphasize already. It means she start to understand already. Very good. Sadhu to you. Let us rejoice. Otherwise, she cannot read like that one. It's like parrot one. The meditative mind must not. The meditative mind, we are bold, must not only be calm, but it must also be mindful, stress or no, and heedful within to develop the wisdom needed to liberate the mind. Why I bow all those words? Why I bow those words? To help you. to see these are important. When you understand this, you understand the sentence, then you know what to do. Just one sentence, no? You know how much Dhamma there are. Yeah. So this is what the real teaching is. When you listen to a Dhamma talk or you read a book, I can tell you, most of the Dhamma talk and the book, you hardly got any truth inside there. Do you realize that? A lot are story. Dhamma is very rare. But you go through the Heart Sutta, everything is Dhamma. Everything is gem inside there. Okay, continue. Thank you. Sadhu.
It is this meditative mind that is aware, mindful, and heedful that can understand how the mind stirs and becomes afflicted by one's delusion and wrong view or ignorance that conditions the evil roots to arise. It will come to understand its origination factors clearly as to how the evil roots come to be. It will also come to understand that before the evil roots are there, the mind was originally very peaceful.
That is key, understand? It originally was like that, then why go and do? Do until it become like that. That's why you don't know how to meditate. The meditate is the third way, silent, aware, then all gone. Then you realize, all this wrong view, anger, emotion is not you. Dependent originating, condition, right? They come after. When you have wrong view, you stir your mind, you react, then they arise. If they are condition arising, then you silent, let the condition cease, it will cease. True or not? That's why the third way is what? The Buddha teach. Just aware. Then you become peaceful. Then you understand. Anger is not you. Fear is not you. Emotion is not you. Selfishness is not you. So don't go and blame yourself. I still have anger. Means you don't understand. How can anger be you? And you some more, openly, confidently, after meditating so many years, go to retreat, listen Dhamma talk, read all the Dhamma book, 20 years, I still got anger. Who is the I? Who got anger? Anger was never you. That's why the five aggregate was never you. What is anger? Dependent originating. Understand now? When the mind stir through ignorance, then anger come to be. Before you get angry, there was no anger. So when anger arrives, how can you be the anger? The anger is an emotion that surfaced due to your ignorance. Dependent on ignorance, sankara activity, created craving, the emotion. The dependent origin. Then you realize, this is how my mind functions. This is not me. If I just understand this, I silent, it ceases to be. This is what meditation is all about. Do you understand? Okay, read on.
Everything arises naturally via conditions arising, causes, and all phenomena exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then by cultivation of the six internal and six external sense bases, one will understand clearly how to trace the origination factors behind the stirring of the mind, and how one can retrospectively reverse it by wisdom.
Very good. Continue.
The moment your mind stirs, Dhammapada verse 1. Okay, will take its course, hence conditioning one suffering like the wheel that follows the hoof.
So, now you know how Dhammapada verse 1 take its course. Because you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, with an unwholesome mind, with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why the Buddha said, if you do that, suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hoof of the ox, So this is very obvious. And I like her reading. Very clear. Tabby one also very clear. So now we got two. Don't have to worry. Okay, very good. And only, you continue. You're not bad. You and Tabby, good. Both also very clear. But your wife now, you know how to emphasize on the important word. I like that. Sadhu to you.
The meditative mind will understand how the mundane mind got caught. With understanding, it will no longer be deluded. To really see and awaken to this truth or understanding, one needs a very stable mindfulness.
Remember this. You don't train your mind. If your mindfulness is not stable, you cannot see all this. You cannot understand all this. You cannot awaken to all this. So train your mind. Determine to be mindful in the midst of life. Then all this become very clear. Continue.
Take, for example, a case where a Kayanmita's friend passed away suddenly at the age of 63 years old due to heart attack. The Kayanmita said, "Today, I'm very sad." So I asked her, "Why?" She said, "Because she has been my very good friend for the past 20 plus years." I asked her again, "Do you know why you are sad? And who is sad? And who is the you that is sad?" As usual,
did you ever inquire when it happened to you? This is very common, isn't it? Somebody very close to you, a very good friend, suddenly so young, 63, heart attack, gone. And he know the family very well, and the son also very close to her. That's why later on the son came and see her. Then she saw the son in depression, bring the son to my class. Then the son recover. Beautiful. Continue.
As usual, she said, "Attachment low." Then I say, "Most Buddhists answer this way, and because of that, very likely they will not develop the wisdom because they never inquire, reflect, and contemplate deep into this Dharma that has arisen, as advised by the Buddha under the second turning of his first noble truth."
True or not? Yeah, you always say attachment law, craving law. Do you understand what attachment is, what craving is? But you assume you understand, no? Then you think, miserable, suffering, normal or not. Everybody also go through that. Attachment law, that's why I become like that law. So, and there, you don't develop wisdom, you cannot come out of it. You listen to our advisor. Continue.
The first learning is proclamation of the first noble truth of dukkha, leading to the Suttamaya Pajna. Then under the second turning, the Buddha say, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood, leading to the Chintamaya Pajna. So, the inquiry will enable her to investigate why mindfulness and heedfulness to realize that it is the mind that has been conditioned by her wrong view or ignorance that caused her to cling on to her thought that arises by her memories of a good friend of 20 plus years, hence confirming the Buddha's final summary of the first noble truth that states, in short, it is ignorance, delusion that conditions one's grasping to the five aggregates of form and mind that I call dukkha. So the cause of suffering, which is craving, or grasping, or clinging, conditioned by her own self-delusion, or sakkaya ditti, led her to cling onto her mental perception, memories, and consciousness that conditioned her pure feelings into sadness or suffering. It is only a form and mind, not so real, because all conditioned arising phenomena are not permanent, unchanging entities that one can cling on to and say, this is me, and this is I, and this is mine. Do reflect deep into this and awaken to its three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta to break free. Then we will understand that there is no need to be sad. No one to be sad, and also no one born, and no one dies.
That is wisdom. Continue.
Contemplation and reflect deeply and inquire, why am I so deluded? So deluded. Why can't I wake up to this truth?
See? It's so simple, but how many people can understand and get it? Most of them become trapped because that thought, the memory, the perception of the good friend and all things, that this memory, which is part of your brain activity, your accumulated memory, then through thought it arises. Understand? Where thought is respond to memory. Then when it arises, you perceive it. Understand? Then you give meaning. That's why when you attach to the five aggregate of form and mind, which are part of sankhara. So perception is part of sankhara. Memory is part of sankhara. Consciousness is part of sankhara. So the whole content of consciousness, you are trapped inside grief. Then you react, you stir, you become emotional, you become unhappy. That's why this happened to many people. When situation become not so conducive, and when you confront the first noble truth reality, which is so common. You know our planet, every second how many people die? Every second or not every minute? No. How many people die? So it's very common to have death, isn't it? Separation, isn't it? So sooner or later, everybody has to confront it. That's why the Buddha, in one of the story, that lady called what? Gotami. Was it Gotami? Gotami. The Buddha said, because she was like completely the mind, like in depression, no? like go cuckoo, no? Don't know what to do. Then she was naked, no? Carrying the dead baby. Yeah, she got a shock. She cannot accept that reality. Then she want somebody to help cure the son. No? Then finally they say, you better go to the Buddha, the village people or the city people. Then he went to the Buddha. And the Buddha didn't reject her. No, just tell her, don't worry. He said, you want me to help your child? Can you go to every house and ask? If there's any house, that don't have anybody die over the last three generations, you ask for a mustard seed and you come back. Then I will cure your children. Then you go everywhere. Oh. Every house also, three generations got people die before. Oh. Then she realized, this is a fact, no? This is a real. Not only she lost her child, no? A lot of family have lost their loved one before. So when she come back, then the Buddha knew the condition was appropriate. So speak to her, death is a reality. You are not the only one that confront this reality of having your loved one pass away. And her case is also very traumatic now. The whole story, I think you got to ask Brother Tay. I will not very sure. It seems this lady very rich. No? This lady somehow like a commoner, fall in love with a commoner, then decide to marry him, but the family objected. So they went off. Then after that, they give birth to two children now. Then after that, they decide to go back and visit their in-law. They thought after 2-3 years, the parent can accept them and all things with grandchildren. So on the way back, there was rain and all things, crossing a river. So because of the rain, the torrential river and all things, the husband died, you know. Then as she want to go and look for the husband, he tell the elder child, to look after the younger one, then she went. No? I think something like that. But if you're wrong, you tell me. you explain better.
Okay, there are two stories. The first one is Brother Teo has mentioned. There is the lady Gotami, because she had only one child, a male child, and I think in India, just similar in Chinese tradition, when you as a lady do not give birth to a male, you won't have the family inheritance. So that is the first case. And because she had an only child and born and died, so she refused to accept the fact that her baby boy died and went from one person to another. You know, please help my child. People tell her that he's already dead. No, he's just sleeping, you know, and then one person to another. Eventually, someone told her to go and see the Buddha. And that's where the Buddha told her, you get for me a mustard seed from a house on the condition that that house death has never visited, meaning that no death has happened before. So from one house to another, she asked for the mustard seed. No, the resident said, yes, we have. But no, just 2 days ago, no, my father passed away, or 1 month ago, so and so passed away. So this is a experience, a message to her that death is universal. Yeah. And I think that she buried the child, then only went back to the Buddha and said that you have taught me a lesson. So then the second one where Brother Teo mentioned, it's Lady Patachara. Lady Patachara was a very rich lady, so fall in love with a commoner, as Brother Teo has mentioned. So parental objection, and both of them absconded. After a while, when the Lady Patachara became pregnant, so it's a custom for them to go back to their parents' house, in-laws to deliver. And what happened is that on the way back, it was raining, right? And on the way back, the wife, the Patachara, delivered. So they went back, went back to their own house. Then the second child was born, so they wanted to go. So then there was raining, and somehow the husband was bitten by a snake. Bitten by a snake, so the husband died. So the husband died. Then this newborn baby, the mother carried in her arm and took the other elder child. As they came to the river bank, and it was raining and also swift flowing. So the mother, Patachara, left the elder boy on this side of the river bank. And she carried her baby and walked across midway into the stream, right, to cross over the other side.
The boy followed.
the boy actually was waiting.
Yeah.
So then what happened is that an eagle or something came. And then when this Patachara saw that the eagle was going to attack the elder boy. So she waved at her, try to chase away the eagle. And the boy thought that the mother was calling
her to cross.
So he just walked into the water and got drowned. Then after that, somehow also she lost the second child. The second child. So after that, when she walked, cross over the river and then walked to her parents' house, so far away she saw that there was smoke and all those things. So when she came near to the house, and found out that the house was burned down. The parents and her brother, the whole family all was died inside that fire. So as a result of which, she just lost her sanity, just ran throughout the street. As she ran, then the clothing began to drop off. Until some kind people just gave her a cloak, and she went to the monastery. Went to the monastery and met the Buddha. The Buddha just let her settle down there and gently called her name, Patachara, and slowly she came to her senses.
And she became also tapan.
I think eventually arahant.
Finally. But when the Buddha speak about the reality, he became also tapan straight away. I don't know whether Gotami or this Patachara, one of them became a Sotapan. Because I heard it from Reverend Suvarna. So I only know what Reverend Suvarna told me, because I never read the Sutta. So you need Brother Tay to explain. So thank you so much. So thank you, Kiat Hun. Thank you, Brother Tay. Sadhu, sadhu. You can go for your lunch. Pay respect, then go. Okay.